Hey, I want you to open your Bibles, please. I've got an encouraging message for us here tonight. One of encouragement. Not a one-string guitar one. This is an encouraging one. Even any person that would come in here would find this encouraging, I think. Nobody would run out and say, those blokes always talk about the one thing. No, we do talk about different things, and we've been talking about this a lot too, but I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to have a look at verses 1 to 16. And the title of my message is, Will We Be Found Faithful? Will we be found faithful? Question. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 16. You there?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 16 says, In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured, and skilful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, in other words. Verse 5, And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And if you read on the rest of the story, you find out the prince of the eunuchs, hang on, you're going to get my head lifted off me here, mate. Just test me out and see, Daniel said. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us with something here encouraging from this scriptures here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this small group of people who've come out, Lord, and are able to sit here and listen to your word, Lord, and probably expound it a bit and find out what it is that you might be able to say to us tonight, Lord, at Coastline Baptist Church, to encourage us, Lord, and to give us strength and boldness, Lord, to stand in this very evil time that we find ourselves in, Lord, at the end of the church age. When you tell us, Lord, there will be great apostasy, but also society. Society will be run amok, Lord, and we have to exist in here, Lord, and we pray that you protect us and stand with us, Lord, as we determine in our hearts to please you, Lord, and not get caught away with the things of the evil society that we live in. So bless the people for coming tonight. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord, as we contemplate these things that are in here for us to learn, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The portion of Scripture we've just read describes the Babylonian captivity of Judah, and it names a number of prominent Israelites who were led away to Babylon during this terrible time of judgment upon the nation. Daniel, one of the young men who was taken into captivity from Judah, was quickly recognized by his Babylonian captors as a person of great intellect and physical ability. Verse 4 of our opening scripture describes Daniel as one in whom was no blemish, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a specific intention for the likes of Daniel, as well as any other well-presented and intelligent young men who had been taken captive from Judah. The king had a 3-year brainwashing and conditioning program in place, which he had devised for a specific agenda. The agenda was to educate captives who fulfilled his criteria for special attention and treatment. Specifically chosen people who would be trained in the language of the Chaldeans, whose minds would be brainwashed with the pagan philosophies of the Babylonian culture. Listen carefully. Listen carefully to this message. What's going on here? What was Nebuchadnezzar's intention? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a specific intention for the likes of Daniel, as well as for any other well-presented and intelligent young man who had been taken captive from Judah. The king had a three-year brainwashing and conditioning program in place, which had been devised for a specific agenda. What was the specific agenda? Now we need to listen to this. All right? Hey, you young people, listen to me too, please. Listen to what I'm saying. The king had a three-year brainwashing and conditioning program in place. We need to be aware of what the enemy's up to with us. Amen? Which had been devised for a specific agenda. The agenda was to educate captives who fulfill his criteria, Nebuchadnezzar's criteria, for special attention. Specifically chosen people who would be trained in the language of the Chaldeans, whose minds would be brainwashed with the pagan philosophies of the Babylonian culture, and their bodies would be conditioned and nourished with the best foods of Babylon. What was the problem? Can you see there would be a problem? Hey, what if it was us? The problem was that the foods that the Babylonians enjoyed were foods that were expressly forbidden to the Jews by God. They weren't supposed to eat this stuff, all right? We're supposed to not eat a lot of stuff too, that the culture that we live in today is dishing up to us, all right? In verse 5, we read of Nebuchadnezzar's intention. Verse 5 says, "And the king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." In reality, Daniel and his friends were being pressured into abandoning their God-ordained Jewish beliefs and convictions, and therefore be converted to the beliefs and practices of Babylon, so that they would be acceptable to be presented before royalty and serve in the king's royal palace, carrying out the commandments and wishes of King Nebuchadnezzar. However, we discover that Daniel had a different agenda in mind. Verse 8 tells us, "But Daniel purposed in his heart," in verse 8, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." The king was saying, "You've got to eat this stuff and drink this stuff." And he would not do it, alright? Daniel committed himself to honour his God. He didn't tell the king that. He talked with the bloke that looked after the eunuch that looked after the captives, alright? Daniel committed himself to honour his God and to maintain his convictions despite the dramatic and difficult changes in his circumstances. Even though it meant certain death to oppose the wishes of the king, Daniel was not going to compromise himself. He wasn't going to compromise himself, though, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "We will not bow down and serve your God. Our God will help us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship your God." Amen? Daniel knew the difference between God's standards of right and wrong, and his actions complemented and affirmed his God-honoring convictions and his professed testimony. It would have been less confronting and even beneficial for him to compromise his beliefs. People say, "Oh, don't be stupid. What's wrong with you? It's only eating food and drinking milk. What's wrong? You're going to get into trouble over that." Hey, but he clearly understood that it would displease the Lord if he did it. Amen? We're here to please God, not men. Many professing Christians in our day, both young and old, are failing to follow the example of Daniel by remaining holy and separated unto God while living surrounded by a secular society that is wholly driven by consumerism. What's consumerism? Lusting after worldly possessions. Alright? A society that is wholly driven by consumerism, which is lusting after worldly possessions, and also driven by relativism. What's relativism? It's the belief that there are no absolutes between right and wrong. We are also surrounded by a religious society, the professing churches, that are completely driven by ecumenism. That is the belief that God wants all churches to be united together, despite their huge differences in doctrine and practice. So we've got all that stuff around us, and we've got to stand strong not to get involved in it. Alright? Alright? Hey, we're going to have to be strong, and we're going to have to be determined, and we're going to have to look to God. We need to trust God. Despite what is demanded of us, we need to be like Daniel and purpose in our hearts not to defile ourselves with the world, the things of the world, not just the world, the things of the world, nor with the false religions that make up most of the professing churches throughout the world, not just here in Cairns, but throughout the whole of the world. When we read the book of Daniel in its entirety and in context, we soon discover that Daniel was greatly blessed of God for his faithfulness and for his determination to walk in obedience to the commandments and testimony of God's law. In Daniel 10:10, for example, the angel who came to him when he was praying beside the river Hiddekel told him that he was a man greatly beloved, who by God. Right? In Daniel 6:4, we learn that even Daniel's enemies, the enemies in the king's court, could not accuse him of any wrong, even by their standards. It says of Daniel that even those who despised him recognized in verse 4 that he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. He was totally right in every way, all right? On that, this is for us now, on that day when we meet the Lord face to face, won't it be great to hear that about ourselves? Eh? That our enemies could find no fault in us. All right? And that God said, "Your people greatly beloved of me." Won't it be good on that day when we stand, when we meet the Lord face to face, won't it be great to hear that about ourselves? Eh? Would it? That even our enemies found nothing to accuse us of, and the Lord found us as faithful and committed to Him. And we'll hear those words from Him. This is what we'll hear if we do. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Are you looking forward to hearing that? That's what I'm looking forward to. We need to take this example of Daniel for our small group of people that's still meeting here at Coastline, struggling on. We're not struggling. We're not struggling. I'm not struggling. I turn up here for church on Sunday, you people turn up and we have a great time. There's not many of us, but I'm not struggling and I don't feel any threat. There's not many people. Well, there's not many people who want to serve God. Right. Simple to work out. Why should we have a whole heap of people in here that don't want to serve God? We had that before. Remember, we had kids running around in the service. Pastor Dan used to think of it, all right, it was good. Well, don't tell the little kid to sit down, because their parents might go. Walk out the door. Hey, we're only a small mob, but we're all determined to serve God, amen? Amen. And we'll hear that day, that one day we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I'm looking forward to that.